A handful of government websites are taking at least one step toward making themselves more secure. They're hard-coding a security protocol that would make it more difficult for outsiders to intercept a visitor's connection. That's according to 18F, the General Services Administration's tech team. Here with more on the upgrade is Eric Mill. He's a technologist and member of that 18F team. Eric, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
All right, so you are on the phone, which means you're, in a sense, working today when the government offices are closed, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And I suppose the tech team, if anyone, has the capabilities to pretty much work from anywhere. All right, so let's talk about this protocol. I mean, it's HTTPS, and I thought every website would have this by now.
I would have thought that, too. That would be very nice. It has, in fact, been growing a great deal over the last 5 years and especially the last 2 years, but still isn't quite the default on the web, on the Internet today.
Right, so tell us, what does it do?
Sure. So you've seen it before. It's, you know, HTTPS :// with a little lock next to it when you log into your email or your bank. And what that does is it essentially adds, it sprinkles a little layer of encryption on top of the connection between your computer that you're running the web browser in and the website's computer. Because that's what happens when you visit a website. Is your computer talks to another computer over the Wild West that is the Internet. And when you visit it without HTTPS over a normal HTTP connection, you are essentially just sending all of that information back and forth totally in the open for anybody to modify or intercept or redirect. And people do that all the time. When you use HTTPS, an encrypted connection, that's much more like a little locked briefcase that you're sending information between your computer and their computer. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Go ahead.
So this is something that really should have been the default, but when we began the web and began the Internet, it didn't exist yet. It was invented after the web was invented, and it was, in fact, it was quite slow and expensive for a while. And so I think the realization on the web for the last several years has been that it's cheap, it's fast, and it's especially necessary in today's world.
And without it, like I'm just looking right now, I'm on our own website, it's just, it doesn't say what it is, but there's no lock there, federalnewsradio.com. What can happen in the absence of having HTTPS?
So in the absence of HTTPS, So anything that you submit on the website, say any search term, if I go to Federal News Radio and I search for a keyword, anybody who's sitting between me and your website, could be the cafe that I'm in, could be the internet service provider, could be anybody really, anybody can see what that search term is. And so they could learn something about me and potentially connect it with other searches I do on other insecure websites after that, just even while I'm just on my browser for the day or for the afternoon. They can also do things like inject advertising or add tracking information to your connection. So as you're just browsing around the internet on various insecure websites, your internet service provider or anybody else can start inserting little tracking numbers and information into your connection that they can then use and sell to advertisers or use for whatever really they feel like doing, and that happens today.
All right. So when you make a site HTTP with the S, the secure version of the hypertext transfer protocol. I haven't said those words in so long. I have trouble getting them. Nobody says it anymore. But where do you do the hard coding? Where does all this exist?
Sure. So it's a two-step process. So any website today can use an open standard. I don't want to get too much in the technical weeds here, but there's a little extension to HTTPS called Strict Transport Security that you can implement on your website. It's very easy. That just tells the browser, any browser that supports that extension from then on, to just always use HTTPS from now on. Don't ever do a redirect. Don't ever let anybody fool you into connecting to it over HTTP. And so any website can do that, and then you have to actually visit the website once over a secure connection to see that instruction so that your browser then knows going forward to always use a secure connection to visit that website. So the hard coding is essentially Chrome, the Chrome security team, started a list that now all the other major browsers use, that anybody who adds that extension to their website can submit to. And that way, once that version of the browser ships with your domain baked into it, the browser will always connect to it over HTTPS, no exceptions, no questions asked.
And is there a way that browsers can be configured such that they do this on their own? Or does this has to be something that the website itself does?
Right now, it has to be something that the website itself does. And that's because HTTPS isn't a overwhelming majority of traffic on the internet. What's, I think, going to happen, and in fact, the Chrome team has announced some work along these lines, is that as the percentage of encrypted traffic and domains rises on the internet, it could be that someday browsers, in fact, can start making that an opt-out thing for websites instead of an opt-in. And that is a place we'd like to get to.
And so that would force website operators to go ahead and code that into their sites.
It would make it unnecessary. Once the internet is overwhelmingly encrypted, website owners wouldn't even need to start adding that extension. The browsers could just start assuming HTTPS for everything, and if you don't support it, then your website doesn't load. That is a ways off, but that is, in fact, the goal of a lot of the internet standards bodies and web browsers and web developers.
And so if a website implements this encryption version on its site, and so that everyone that comes there has to do this, is there any kind of performance degradation that occurs from encryption, or maybe it speeds things up?
So it's actually, it used to be that there was a performance degradation associated with it. And, you know, encryption takes a little bit of work, but today it's really quite negligible. And Google and Facebook and Twitter and some of the largest website owners in the world have gone on record as saying that once they made the transition, they found that they suffered no performance degradation at all. And in fact, the next versions of HTTP that are rolling out, that's actually a protocol with a version that people work on, there's HTTP 2.0 is coming out quite soon, in the next month or two, and that has a number of terrific speed improvements in it, and Chrome and Firefox have both said that they will only support those improvements for encrypted connections.
We're speaking with Eric Mill. He's a technologist and member of the 18F team at the General Services Administration. Now, what about websites? What about a lot of government websites are actually hosted in multiple copies in multiple locations for purposes of load balancing and being able to handle the capacity that they might need? So do you have to code it for each one of your instances, or can you code it once and it will just get onto all of the instances that you have?
That's a really smart question. So that's something that typically you use a company or a service called a content delivery network, a CDN, and there's a number of them out there, like Cloudflare and Akamai and CloudFront and Fastly, and there's a number of smaller ones, but you manage that with them centrally. So they all operate a little differently, but it's not something where you have to go and do extra manual work for every single copy of your website out there. You typically manage that centrally.
And, of course, a lot of agencies, like a lot of large corporations, have virtualized all of their software, all of their applications and websites and so forth. So can it also attach itself to a virtual machine?
It absolutely can. And in fact, that's generally how things get done today for all but the very biggest websites.
All right, so who in the agency should be doing the coding, and how extensive is it to do this coding for any website?
For new sites, it can be quite easy and quite trivial. If you know what you're doing, you can get it done in an hour to generate the cryptography stuff and actually get your certificate issued and all that, and to install it on the web server. For converting old sites, there can sometimes, depending on how sprawling the website is and how sophisticated it is, there could be some work in bringing it up to date, because when you make your website secure, the browsers force it to then depend on other secure websites and other secure resources. And in fact, I don't know if this is the case for Federal News Radio, but a lot of the things that are holding up, for example, news outlets and news media from updating their own websites and infrastructures, that they depend on advertising. And many ad networks still have not yet made that jump.
And also there's a lot of ways into a website, which people may not go directly to the homepage. They might come in from some other link. Does that affect the HTTPS status?
If you do it right, it really shouldn't. You should be able to jump into a website from any part of it and access it securely.
Now, if you're building a website or having a contractor build it for you, they use different languages. There's the Adobe Suite, and there's probably 100 of them that people use to build their sites and even their online tools. Can those be configured such that before you even begin, that they will produce it in a way that incorporates the encryption for HTTPS?
Yes. So typically that's handled not in the programming language itself, but in the choices of software you use to serve the website and the hosting infrastructure that you use to do it. So typically you don't have to literally code the cryptography yourself or do it in a programming language. However, all major programming languages that you ever use to build anything on the web all support HTTPS and encrypted connections.
Okay, so this might be a little bit above your pay grade, but is GSA, as the major subcontractor to the Office of Management and Budget, working with OMB rather, to order agencies across the government to put this in so that everyone's got it?
So that is definitely above my pay grade. This is not a mandatory thing that government websites are going through right now, but I think that what GSA and what a lot of other agencies understand is that this is definitely a best practice, that we are entering the next phase of the web. The U.S. government invented the web, and it should be part of the transition to securing its wires and the connections that it has.
And what are some of the federal sites so far that have taken this step?
So some of the ones that there are thousands of government websites, and hundreds of them use an HTTPS connection. The ones that we worked with to actually just have them hard-coded so they will always be HTTPS all the time include the Federal Trade Commission. They have the Do Not Call Registry. We worked with them. They have another blog post that they put up being proud of their work. We worked with the AIDS.gov team, the Administrative Council of the U.S. The D.C. Legislature submitted a website that hosts the laws of the District of Columbia, Federal Register that publishes the nation's regulations. So there's a good number of them there.
And you said hard-coded, so the alternate is what?
So the alternate is, and if you just deploy HTTPS and you force anybody who comes at it over HTTP to redirect to the secure connection, you're doing pretty good. And that's really the baseline we should be looking for, is just supporting encrypted connections and forcing them through a redirect. You can then take an extra step to instruct browsers to assume that going forward, even if somebody clicks an old insecure link that hasn't been updated. And then finally, you can even do this hard coding that we did, so that that's just baked into the browser right from the get-go.
And so you recommend the hard coding and biting the bullet, so to speak, and get it done once and for all?
Well, that's actually, I like the way you put that, because one of the reasons I think it's so valuable is that it forces you to just take care of everything. It's a really valuable forcing function and compliance mechanism for your organization, because if you've submitted it to the browser, you can't take it back. You've got to keep it up. And in the way that this is implemented today in browsers, you've got to take care of all of your subdomains too. So it's a really strong mechanism that if you've done it, you have your act together and your domain is just done. You've got it down.
Eric Mill is a technologist and member of the 18F team at GSA. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.